So it's you, gentlemen. Glad you could come. Do come in. Oh.
Head on the top of the doorway.
Do be careful. Come on in, all of you.
Thank you.
Hello, Gladys. Nice to see you. I say, what a lovely place you've got here.
Well, I do, huh?
Is that all of you?
No, there's some more yet. I say, you're looking.
Ow!
That is an excerpt from 10 Tall Men. Another in our series, a film worth remembering. It is more than said for the next half hour.
However, for the more tolerant listener, here is a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Those taking part are Tom Bowler, Sir Watt Fitzmee Fitzgerald, Miss Tonya Turin.
She's a dish.
To continue, Dame Myra Springfield, and of course, Kenneth Horne, who is available for parties, particularly over the age of 21. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horne.
Welcome to Beyond Our Ken. Well, let me as usual tell you the happenings of the week. On Monday, I got my teeth into a full tongue. On Tuesday, I returned from Baker. to London. And I went straight to a recording session. Now, you probably haven't realized that I'm well known for my train songs. There was Take the 30 from Bogdan, we'll share a kipper or two. And then I made When the Midnight Choo-Choo Leaves the Steeple Bumstead. And I'd like to get you on a slow train to Portsmouth. But I think my new one will outsell the lot. It's called What Ho for the 5:43 Stopping Train to Tunbridge Wells. On it, I'm backed by the British Council. The flip side is that there was an old farmer who had an old cow. Quentin Hogg. On Wednesday, well, you could never believe it, so I won't bother to tell you. On Thursday, my aunt came to see me. She's an Alsatian. No, don't get me wrong. She's from the Alsace-Lorraine district. That's the home of the Alsatian wine. And if you haven't heard an Alsatian wine, you haven't lived, I can tell you. Unless, of course, it's corked, and then you hardly get it at all. I don't know why I'm bothering to tell you all this. It's part of the time, I suppose. Still, on Friday, I looked up an old friend. What a ghastly sight. And that, more or less, brings us to another Honorama feature.
Our time in which we take a closer look at people and events in the news.
This week, the celebrated crime writer Agatha Twist had a birthday. With some hundreds of books and long-running plays to her credit, she is undoubtedly a unique phenomenon in the literary world. The other day, a well-known book critic went along to take tea with Miss Twist.
Thank you, Marchant.
Very good, madam.
Now, Mr. Stella, how many lamps for you?
Two, please. Thank you. Now, Miss Twist, what I want to ask you is this. Here you are, a rather simple middle-aged lady of simple taste, and yet you write about crime with a rare knowledge.
Well, you see, it's such a fascinating subject. I've always been interested in crime and the solution of crime. I look upon each of my stories as a challenge.
Yes, quite. I suppose it really is quite difficult to be constantly thinking of new situations and this murder.
Well, of course. I am experimenting all the time. Mm. For instance, your teeth.
beg your pardon.
Oh, it's quite new poison. My husband discovered it in the yard.
What? You mean...
You rang, madam?
Yes, Marchman. Put this gentleman in the gun room with the others.
Very good, madam.
Oh, and Marchman.
Yes, madam.
Show him the book that takes from the prize.
Music Hall is coming back to the West End. At least two London theatres are to present old-fashioned variety. And we're delighted to have with us one of the great stars of yesteryear. How do you do, sir? How do you do?
One of the great stars. Thank you, Mr. Sayles. How grateful it is to be here, sir. How thanking me being on the speaking wireless. Of course, you see, we never used them microphone things in my day.
No.
We had none of that. Oh, used to sing our running guts out. But it takes me back those for the days.
Sort of act did you do?
I don't. There's many people don't remember my comic songs. I won't get out, Marta. My meat's all fresh today.
Thank you. That was delightful, sir. Yes,
it
now.
Doesn't.
Yes.
It's my humble
lot. Oh, very well, sir. What have you to make? I saw it. You know, come on.
We all remember every word of it. How have you been making out since your heyday?
Well, I won't pretend things haven't been bad. For a time, I worked the clubs and the Sonics, you know, and all that stuff. And more recently, I've been working in one of them review bars.
Oh, that should have been enjoyable.
Enjoyable? How do you like to catch a death of cold posing in the news like that?
Thank you very much. In a recent article, it was stated that British architects had now succeeded in designing the perfect family house. But how do modern houses compare with the older ones? What is the expert's view?
Hello, Charles. I have not really taken notice of this house.
No orders, can't they?
Do you think you've been here hundreds of times? Shame on you.
Don't be like that. Anyway, what's so special about it, Monica?
Take a good look. I think it's quite the most beautiful house I've ever seen.
Yes. Georgian, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. Hmm. And look at that archway. There's a touch of an air gothic influence there. See the way it sort of sweeps up and sort of sweeps down.
Windows vine.
Don't you feel they give the place a sort of gorgeous cottagey effect?
Mm-hmm. What about those orange velour drapes?
Absolutely darling.
Furnishing inside show exquisite taste.
How do you know?
I see through side windows.
I do. Well, we can't stop here admiring it all day.
No, no, work to be done.
Come on, then. Let's go in and collect the dustbin.
Which brings us to our panel of experts who are waiting to discuss this week's searching question. Top of the table, here he is again, Hanky Power.
Ah, yes. There was this chap, you see, checking his football balls, and they all came up. Yes. So, of course, he went wild with excitement. He said to his son, "This is marvellous. And now we can have all the things we've never had before." He was delirious for joy. Delirious he was. Anyway, he summoned out of the room into the kitchen and said to his mother, "Mum, Dad's in a marvellous mood. Now's the time to tell him you forgot to post his coupon."
Next, must we say hello again to our top pop star, Ricky Livid.
Hello, now. Oh, had a very busy time yesterday. First of all, lunch. Lots of garlic. I love garlic. Then I recorded my latest number.
What's that?
You'll always walk alone.
And here's another garlic lover, the culinary queen, the Fanny Hat.
Hello again, my darling. And my darling, tragedy in the kitchen. Yesterday, Johnny would keep messing about with me apple fritters. My darling, yes, he would. So I picked up the mixture and poured it all over him. I gave him such a battery.
And finally, our rustic reprobate, Arthur Fallon.
Well, as I've said many times before, I make no bones about it. I'm looking for someone to love. I mean, sometimes I look around my little farmhouse and I realize it needs a woman's touch, you know? I mean, of course, that's true that Mrs. Plackett comes in 3 mornings a week, but what I need is someone for the evening.
Yeah, thank you very much. Well, that's the panel, and so to this week's question, which comes from a listener who asks, what did members of the panel do during the war? Well, this should be interesting indeed. Hanky Flower.
Yeah, yes. Well, I'm proud to say I did something for which the RAF was extremely grateful.
Oh.
Yeah, I joined the Navy.
And what were you in the Navy?
Well, I started as a rear admiral and worked my way round to the front.
Now then, Ricky Livid, what about you?
Yeah, well, of course, I was only a kid at the time, but I remember my dad, he'd done a lot of fighting, my dad done. But it wasn't no good, he had to go. No, he was in the army, actually. Huh, actually, that's the word on which he failed his commission. No, dad was just a private. A private, but mind you, he started as a sergeant.
What branch of the army was he in?
Supply corps.
And what business is he in now?
Army surplus.
Well, now, Fanny Hatter, glad to hear from you.
Well, believe it or not, I wasn't in Fanny's. No, it was the WVF for me. I was always there with something for the boy. A cup of tea, a smile, and a rock cake. Round to the van I went, and of course, I used to cook up extra little specialities myself. Oh, my dear, they were very, very popular. Everywhere I went, the lads were after me, maids of honor.
Well, of course, I'm happy to say I did my little bit. I was on the land, of course, and among other things, I was responsible for teaching these land army girls hard work. The girls, it was, too. I remember they used to complain that farmhands were rough. But I must... I must say, they were really magnificent. They responded to every call. If I said more potatoes, then it'd be more potatoes. If I said more turnips, then it'd be more turnips. And when it comes to the blackout, I don't mind.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Just a minute, Ron. I must object. I would like to get one of my sentences finished.
Well, if you ever do, Arthur, then we are.
Oh.
So to our drama of the week, and this week it's a scorching, soul-searing, sensational drama. Yes, here it is, a story of violent emotions set in a suburban tennis club. Ladies and gentlemen, we present... The Lovely...
love game, or so that's your racket.
My name is Paula Evershot Stanley. I'm a fairly typical member of the local garden suburb tennis club. My job is hon sec. There are quite a few of us doing this job with enthusiasm. In fact, we're terribly keen hon sec. In this club. My story really starts one evening last summer when our president, Basil Windwood, conducted the club's weekly committee meeting.
All right, all right, all right. Now then, please. That's the pairs for the McDouble settled.
Just a minute, Basil. You've forgotten Freddie Lightfoot. She's still without a partner.
Well, how about Priscilla Gorsdyke? She's got a jolly good service.
Yes, so I've heard.
Oh, Geoffrey, you are one.
I'm not. Look up. Now, look here, if you want a partner for Freddie Lightfoot, what about Veronica Titchler? A very good all-rounder.
And Freddie usually is. All right, a good pair. Right, that's that. Now, the next item on the agenda?
Oh, yes. And now we come to the complaint against one of our esteemed committee members, Mr. Walter Fitztooth.
Oh, dear.
Yes, Walter. I'm afraid your behavior on court the other day has been brought to our notice.
Oh, that?
Yes. I understand from Mr. Benson, who was umpiring your match, that he asked you quite politely and quite civilly what you would like him to do with your silk scarf. And what was your reply, Fitztooth?
Oh, dear. Yes, but I...
Surely you haven't forgotten. According to Mr. Benson, your exact reply was, umpire, umpire, stick it up your jump higher.
I'm most frightfully sorry, really. Yeah,
very well. But this sort of thing should happen again, I should be forced to remove your name from the list of the vicar's roulette party. Now then. Any other business?
No,
going?
I don't think
no?
so.
No, good. Then I suggest we return to the top bar.
Good evening, miss. Your usual.
Thank you. Well, here to... Geoffrey. Geoffrey, do stop it.
What's he doing, Paula?
Blowing down my back with a cheese straw. Oh, stop it, silly.
I say, Paula, forgive me for being personal, but I couldn't help noticing those teeth marks on your back.
Oh, yes. Well, in a tennis club like this, one gets an awful lot of backbiting.
Well, here's to victory in the singles challenge match against Potter's Bar. Have you decided who to represent us yet, Basil?
Well, undoubtedly our best player is that new champ, young Dennis Fairfax. I don't like him much, though.
Don't you? Well, no. I think he's rather dishy. Yeah, you know, he looks so good out there on the court. Quite a touch of Wimbledon about him.
Yes, I suppose so. Personally, I think he looks ridiculous in those frilly shorts.
Oh, look, there he is now in his lamb's wool sweater.
Ah, that wolf in sheep's clothing.
Coming over.
Oh, steady, Paula, now.
Basil, Geoffrey, Paula. Beastly news, isn't it? The string fast.
Bad luck, Dennis. Bad luck. You'll just have to wear braces, won't you?
I say, Paula, you look absolutely stunning. Can I get you anything, such as excited?
Ignore him. He might go away.
Look, why don't we all go for a ride in my new sports car? Basil, would you like to drive?
No, thanks. I'm drinking.
Oh. Paula, how about you and me, then?
Well, you think it's a little late,
Dennis. Good heavens, no. The night is young, and I am so beautiful. Let's do something exciting and romantic. It's built up the M1 to Birmingham.
All right, then. I'll get my things.
Now, look here, Fairfax. In a few days' time, you've got an important tennis match to play for this club, and I don't much like the idea of your gallivanting about, especially with Miss Evershot Stanley.
So that's it. It's Paula you're really worried about.
Yes, I don't deny. I'm very fond of her. Besides, I've seen that sports car of yours. What are all those notches on the side?
I refuse to discuss them. Those are my affairs.
Just as I thought.
Here I am. Ready, Dennis?
Well, cheerio, Baz.
Oh, Baz, little darling. Don't look so sulky and annoyed. I'm sure Dennis will take you for a drive sometime. Goodbye. That night, I found out why they're called sports cars. During the next few days, Dennis taught me all he knew about the game, and sometimes we played tennis, too. Then, on the night before his big tournament, we met at the club's annual flannel dance.
Thank you for the dance, Paula. I say, where's your Dennis Fairfax?
He's not here yet, and he's not my Dennis Fairfax. Really, Geoffrey, the gossip that goes on in this club, it's a hotbed of rumor, scandal and tittle-tattle. Worse than that pub opposite the BBC.
I say, here comes Dennis Fairfax.
Hello, Paula.
Dennis! You can't come in here dressed like that.
Why not? It's only a flannel dance.
Yes, but not a face flannel.
Oh, well, I better go and clip something else on.
Well, all the nerve.
Here you are, Paula. I wanted to speak to you. Haven't you been seeing rather a lot of Dennis Fairfax lately?
We all have.
Jeffrey? Jeffrey, will you leave us alone for a moment, please? Thank you. Paula, there's something I've got to know. That night you went for a drive with him, did he kiss you on the M1?
Really, Basil, it's none of your business.
It is, Paula. You see, I happen to be in love with you.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Neither did I. Until you started going out with that chap Fairfax. Then I knew. Oh, Paula, these last few days have been torture. I've been mad with jealousy and envy. And one day I sat in a green deck chair and nobody noticed me.
Poor Basil.
Paula, look.
Hello, Paula. I'm back. I slipped into some old tennis bags. A bit uncomfortable. The rackets are still in them. Well, shall we dance?
What about me?
No, thanks. I'd rather dance.
Excuse us, Basil. Oh, it's Dennis.
What's the matter?
It's Dennis. He's ripped himself in the cha-cha.
Gracious. Look, are you all right, Fairfax?
Hey, it's my foot. I think I've twisted it.
Oh, this is terrible. What about the tournament tomorrow?
I don't know. I can't possibly play now.
Hey, dear, what are we going to do?
All right, no need for panic. I shall play instead.
Good idea.
James, set a match to Basil Wynn.
He's done it. Oh, isn't it wonderful? I'm so happy for him.
You love him, don't you, Paula?
Yes, I suppose I do. Good old, solid, dependable Basil. You do understand?
Yes, I understand. Then you and I, Paula, it's over.
Yes. I suppose it is. Let's just chalk it up as an experience. A very, very lovely experience.
Thank you. Basil's waving at you. Go to him, Paula. He needs you.
And you?
Don't worry about me. I'll manage. Goodbye, Paula.
Goodbye, gentlemen.
Farewell. Hello, girls. It's me, Dennis Fairfax.
Oh, you come in.
Well, anyone for Dennis?
All for this week. In next week's program, a bat will be telling us why her daughter has men in the belfry. So until next week at the same time, this is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now and leaving you with this thought from a listener in Burton on Trent. Is it better to have loved a short girl than never to have loved at all? Cheerio. You might have been listening to What I've Just Missed, Beyond Our Ken, a sort of recorded radio show, in which you heard Kenneth Horne, not to mention Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, Betty Marsden, Bill Pertwee, the Fraser Hayes Four, and the BBC Review Orchestra conducted by Malcolm Lockyer. Eric Merriman wrote the script, your announcer was Douglas Smith, and the show is produced by John Simmons.